Well, as we continue talking with Wayne Walker about the subconscious mind and hypnosis, we will also take your calls and share some of your stories when we come back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Wayne Walker with us. His website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It is mhypnosis.net. Is that what it is?
It's RM.
RM. Okay. Yeah, the typing's really close. Looks like an M. And we've got it all hooked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Can hypnosis be dangerous at any point, Wayne?
You know what? I do not believe so. I haven't seen it to be that to be dangerous. However, let me.
There's a preface here.
There are a couple of areas that I would be very careful with hypnosis, and one of them is missing memories, and the other is past lives. There are people that have come to me that they have certain periods of their life that they're missing, and they want to recover those memories. And I have to be very careful of that, because I want to ask the question. Well, they ask me, can you do that? And I say, absolutely. And then I add the term, at what cost? What's it going to open up? Okay, is the fact that you're missing this memory, is it having an adverse effect on your life to where, you know, you're just can't operate? Or is it just something that you're nosy about and wanting to know what it is? Because, see, God put our eyes in front of our head, not in the back, for a reason, and that's to look forward. And a lot of times if we go back into that stuff, people go through all sorts of things. And the subconscious mind, if you remember, I said its number one priority is to protect you. And sometimes in protecting you, it will cause memories to be erased, that you can't remember them because they could be so horrific or they could have adverse effect on you. So I'm real cautious there. And then, again, the past life. It would be very easy for me to work with a person and convince them that they were that they were Cleopatra in a past life. And it's just one of those.
We've got one of our callers who's convinced that she was Cleopatra in a past life.
Well,
she's pretty convincing.
But you have to. I'm just real cautious of those areas. But the rest of it, I've yet to see a person going to do hypnosis and not have it affect them in a positive way in the rest of their life. Because, again, it starts realigning things and it enables people to start becoming more, again, self-centered and discovery. It's an amazing thing, and the joy that I get out of helping people by doing that when I see them have that aha moment. You know, after they've done their first session, it's one of those things that gives me great joy. And if I could say, again, you know, bring the questions, we need to learn how to ask questions of ourselves.
Right.
Because if you ask the right question, the subconscious mind is going to help you. If you ask the right question and sleep on it, you'll get the answer. The answer will come to you.
How long does hypnosis last? And by that I mean, Wayne, if you're working with someone to stop smoking and you're done with the sessions and they stop smoking, how long is it effective?
That's for the rest of their life.
It is. Okay.
I was giving a talk in Las Vegas to the chamber out in Boulder City, as a matter of fact. And there were probably about 250 people there, and I was talking about hypnosis, and this was some years ago, and there was a gentleman in the back, and he was waving his hand frantically. And I'm going through my introduction and I said, well, obviously we have a gentleman here that wants to ask a question that can't wait. So I called him. I said, sir, what can I help you with? He goes, can you help me? I said, well, why don't you tell me what the problem is, and let's see. He goes, a few years ago, I went to a hypnosis show here in Vegas, and I was on stage, and the guy hypnotized me that every time I walked into the MGM Grand Hotel that I was to go and stand on a chair and yell, the redcoats are coming, the redcoats. And he said, to this day, I cannot go into the MGM without the need, the desire of pulling me and put me on a chair to say the Redcoats are.
Well, I hope he pulls back or they'll throw him out.
In a heartbeat. So he said, can you help me get rid of that? I said, absolutely. For a minor fee, I will absolutely help you get rid of that.
And you did.
Well, he didn't see me afterwards. I don't know if he was being facetious or what, but that's how hypnosis works. I mean, it's there. Once you change the subconscious mind, it's a part of you. It's like a smoker. I'll go back to the smoker. I hypnotize them to be non-smokers. Okay? And as time goes on, they'll get to the point to where they can't even remember that they were ever smoking. And the very thought of them smoking is so foreign to them. Okay? It becomes a part of them. It's a part of their of who they are.
Well, let me ask you this strange question. Last October, 2017, October 1st, I'm on the air. It's Sunday night, and we're getting reports of a shooting in Las Vegas. And that shooting turned into one, two. It ended up where 58 people had been shot by the Stephen Paddock lunatic high atop the Mandalay Bay from his room, and he's shooting down at people in a venue. Could he have been, because I got a lot of emails from people that say, you know, he's a Manchurian candidate, something's wrong. They still don't know a motive on what would cause this guy to do what he did.
Well,
could he have been hypnotized to do this?
Again, I'll go back with yes and no. There are some people that are in a constant state of hypnosis. And, you know, if he goes to the gun range, and my understanding was that he would shoot out in the desert, okay?
Yep.
And it could be that he, you know, as he's shooting out there, that he's projecting that what he wants to do and has the propensity to do, and the sound of the gunshots just driving deeper and deeper into that state of hypnosis, into that state. So you don't know what the trigger is. You know, obviously he was planning it because he had all the ammunition and the weapons in the room. So, you know, it's something that he consciously did. Okay, you just don't carry guns and ammunition up to a room in a hypnotic state. That's something that you consciously do.
Well, what if there is a sinister group that is grabbing people who are predisposed to do things like this and hypnotizing them to do these heinous acts? And maybe this guy is just one of many that could occur.
You know what? I don't discount anything. I've seen too much, okay? In my studies of hypnosis, I've seen things, I've experienced things. I don't discount anything.
What would you do? I want to see how you'd handle this. If somebody approached you, knowing that you are a great hypnotist, and said, I'm going to give you $1 million, but this is what I want you to do. I have 10 people who all have the ability to do certain heinous acts, and I want you to hypnotize them and make them perfect at what they're going to do.
Well, you would
turn it down, I'm sure.
No,
but what would you do with that?
My moral code.
Would you call the FBI?
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Okay.
In a heartbeat.
Okay.
I mean, in an absolute heartbeat, because and there have been instances, George, where a robber has gone into a grocery store, and he's gone through the line, and he leans over, and he does a speed induction on the cashier there. And she has given him all the money in the drawer, and then he takes off. Okay, that's documented. There's a gentleman on YouTube who is a hypnotist. He likes to purposely get pulled over by cops, and then when they stop him,
he hypnotizes.
He'll start using hypnotic language, and hypnotic
suggestions,
techniques, and suggestions, and he'll drive off. And the cop is standing there with their ticket book like, you know, what just happened?
That's amazing.
Okay.
So I guess we can't rule this out.
No.
When people have called me or emailed me and said, this guy, there's something wrong here, George. Nobody saw it coming. Nobody saw it coming. And
well, look at what Charles Manson did.
Yeah.
Same exact thing.
Well, he hypnotized basically all those people.
Every one of them. Every one of them.
Yep.
See, because you have there's in the primitive mind, there's a thing called fight or flight mechanism. Okay, and that's where a person gets to the point where they're either going to fight or they're flight. And you've seen it. You've seen, you know, car chases going down the freeway. The cops are behind them, and you're thinking to yourself, "What are these people doing? They know they're going to get caught." Well, they triggered that fight or flight mechanism. They're operating in the primitive mind at that point. And when the cops pull them over and say, "Look, I was going to pull you over for your taillight. Why'd you run?" Well, I was scared.
I was scared.
Okay, I mean,
which is the worst thing to do? Take
well,
off.
Absolutely, but when you trigger, when a person is triggered in the fight or flight mechanism, the conscious mind cannot talk it out of it. It's not going to happen.
No, let's take some calls for you. Lining up, Laura in Cincinnati, Ohio. Laura, you got to come to our Columbus show in May.
I'm going to try.
Okay, we'd love to see you there.
I was wondering if it would work with drug addiction.
With what?
Drug addiction. I bet it would.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Tell us about the addiction, Laura, and then let's get Wayne to react to that.
Yeah, it's my son, and he's addicted to heroin.
Oh, God. Which is as bad as it gets, because they're lacing that stuff with fentanyl now. You got to be careful. Very, very careful. But how do you get somebody off a heroin kick, Wayne?
Well, first off, the drug use is the symptom. Something else is triggering
his desire
to take the drug. And as a hypnotist, if you were to bring that person to me, I would have to have them off of any sort of drug for about 2 days, okay? Because if they're on drugs, hypnosis is not going to work because you're not going to be able to access the subconscious mind. But if they're off of drugs for a couple of days, bring them in, and then I would put them in the state of hypnosis, and I would start doing releases and discovering why they're injuring themselves like that. Why are they? What is the pain that is causing them to take the drugs?
Do they have to want to stop, Wayne?
They do have to want to stop. They do have to come. I mean, you know, it's like a person wants, you know, his wife tells him to stop smoking. If he doesn't want to stop, he's not going to stop.
I'm not going to stop, no. And you're based where? Houston?
No, I'm down in South Texas.
South Texas, okay. But do people come from all over for you?
What's that?
People come from all over the country to see you? Or?
Sometimes we get a lot of snowbirds down there, or winter Texans, they call them.
Sure.
And they'll come in and see me, and they're all from.
All right. What do you recommend for Laura in Cincinnati?
You know what? Find a hypnotist that works with people that do drugs.
Is there an association that you all belong to?
Well, you know what? There's an organization, the National Hypnosis Association. But the best thing to do is get in the phone book, do an internet search for your local area there, and then just go in and talk with them. And I'm telling you right now, if you can get him off drugs for a couple of days, and he's in agreement with it, he wants to do it, you get him two or three or four sessions of hypnosis, you're going to be amazed as to what happens to this young man.
Same with somebody who drinks a lot. Same thing.
Same thing. Same thing. Same exact thing, because the drinking is a symptom. It's a symptom of the pain that the people are going through. Okay? You discover the pain, you do a release, and the subconscious mind releases that, it's you're done.
Let's go to Lita, first-time caller in Aurora, Colorado. Hey, Lita, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I wanted to tell you that sometimes I find scratches on myself.
Scratches, okay.
Yes, scratches. Now, they're not bleeding or anything, but I even showed them to my doctor. And she said, "Well, do you scratch yourself when you're asleep?" And she thought I might.
How would you know, right?
And I said, "Well, not that I'm aware of. I don't think so."
Say, "Doc, I'm asleep. How would I know, right?"
Yeah. So what, and why am I not aware of them at the time I get the scratch? I often find little injuries on myself,
Let me ask you a couple of questions. When do you discover these injuries?
Usually when I'm bathing, when I'm.
Well, what about when you wake up in the morning, Lita?
No, I never find them.
You don't see them then? Okay.
Okay. So no. Do you think that they're happening during the day?
I don't know, because I'm totally unaware of when, where, or how they happen.
But, I mean, what Wayne's trying to get to, Lita, is when you wake up in the morning, they're not there, right? Or are you saying you just haven't looked?
I don't know. I haven't looked. I usually find them when I'm dressing or bathing.
Well, you should do this first. Every morning, look at yourself to see if you have new scratches when you first wake up.
Okay.
Well, what I would also add to that, George, is when you wake up in the morning, look at yourself. At noontime, look at yourself.
That's right.
And towards the evening, look at yourself.
Could she be doing this to herself, Wayne, and not even know it? And I'm not talking about in her sleep,
absolutely.
But I'm just talking about awake. Okay.
Absolutely. There have been cases where a person goes into hypnosis in the morning when they wake up, and as the day progresses, they get deeper and deeper into hypnosis, and things happen to them. And then when they go to sleep, they come out of hypnosis, they go to sleep, and then they wake up the next morning, and the cycle starts over again.
I'll use the supernatural excuse, too, that there's a demon in her bed scratching away at her at night.
Again, I don't discount anything.
You can't. No.
It's one of those things where you have to go on a quest of hunting and figuring it out, but you have to be consciously doing it.
Assuming she's doing it, what does she really do next then?
Well, you know what? That would be very hard to nail down unless you sit down and talk with her and figured out why these things are happening, when they're happening.
I mean, there's some young kids, Wayne, who cut themselves.
Well, again, that's the symptom going back to the pain. What's the pain that's causing it?
Yeah.
When I meet with people, I'm in a discovery mode of what's the pain. Okay? Whatever it is, what's causing this symptom to manifest itself? Because when people come in, they're focused on the symptom. I look at what's causing it in the background. Let's stop this stuff. And that's why I always see my clients anywhere from 4 to 6 times. Because once I find that out and do that release, the issue's done. It's gone.
That's right. Does insurance cover this?
You know what? Some does, most don't. And, it's one of those things where people have to make a decision that whether they're going to invest into their own health. It's only for 4, 5, 6 sessions. On the rare occasions, I do have clients I may meet with on a monthly basis, but it's more in the business world.
That's a good point, too. Stay with us, Wayne. We're going to come back in a moment and take final phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, our final segment here with Wayne Walker, the hypnotist. Wayne, have you ever hypnotized somebody for a past life regression? Let's make sure he's on.
Areas that I try to be careful with. When a person wants to do that, I kind of let them direct me with the information that they have rather than me trying to pull things out and create something that's not there. So it's a very delicate dance when you do that.
Do you do hypnotherapy? Yeah, that's what you do, don't you?
Here's the thing about hypnotherapy and hypnotists. Depending on the state that you live in, the state of Texas does not recognize hypnosis as a therapy. They don't license it that way. So you can't call yourself a hypnotherapist in the state of Texas.
Aha, you're not licensed for that, I guess.
Well, yeah, they don't have one.
Uh-huh.
In California, however, you can. You can call yourself a hypnotherapist.
How do you find out? Can you just call your very estate? What office?
You can get online and pull up license for hypnosis or hypnotherapist. It'll come up with all the different states and different laws and regs and all of that. Anytime that you get the medical association or board involved, you have to be very careful.
What's the youngest person one should hypnotize, and what's the oldest?
Well, I've worked with kids as long as they can understand, as young as 6 years old. You know, obviously you're doing very specific things. It could be for bedwetting or for this or accelerated learning.
Mm-hmm.
Or that. The oldest, I've got a story for you. I had a gentleman come in to my office. He was 86 years old.
Love it.
And he came in and he says, "Mr. Walker," he says, "I want to quit smoking." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "I want to quit smoking." I said, "How old are you?" He said, 86. I said, "How long have you been smoking?" He said, "Since I was 13. I said, "Now, why all of a sudden do you want to quit smoking?" He goes, "Well, I've got a 40-something-year-old girlfriend, and she told me if I didn't quit smoking, she'd
I love it.
Well, Bubba, I can help you.
I wonder, though, if you quit smoking after all those years, you get sicker if you stop.
No, the body has a way of cleansing itself. You know, smoking, anytime that you can quit smoking, you're better off.
That's true. You know, that's true. Yet some people cope with it more than others. Look at old George Burns. You know, smoke cigars like a fish.
Yeah, but you know what cigar smoking is? You don't inhale. You don't inhale.
You puff.
Cigars. You puff it. I'm a cigar smoker. Nice. I enjoy cigars. A good. It's like good wine.
And a pipe too, I guess. Same
no,
way.
No, I don't do a pipe.
Okay.
I don't do a pipe.
Pipes are kind of passe now. I don't think I've seen somebody with a pipe in God knows how long.
Yeah, I can't remember either. But you know.
It's like hats. Hats are gone.
Yeah, exactly. So.
I mean, in the 1930s and 40s, every man wore a hat when he went out.
Everybody. It was part of the uniform.
Yeah, it's
part of the uniform.
I mean, you know, restaurants had hat check places, like we have coat check places.
That's true. You know, one of the things I wanted to bring up is that, you know, just in general, life is simple. It's very simple. It's not easy sometimes. But if we have the right tools, it makes it a little bit easier. And hypnosis is one of those things that if a person is just willing to go out on a limb and find a hypnotist, I mean, that you'd be amazed the life-changing things that will happen when you do that. And things are, life, I look at things very black and white. People always argue with me. And I'm a very black and white person. And he said, "Well, there's a lot of gray area." I said, "Let me tell you about the gray area. The gray is for discovery. The gray area is for learning, educating. Once you get the education, once you discover, you're going to become black and white on issues."
That's right.
Okay? So those are the things that you need to look at. You need to, you know, learn to ask yourself the good questions. You know, so many times I work with kids and that, and I'll have them out in our ranch. And I'll have them building fence, and they go, they'll make a mistake and goes, "Oh, man, why am I so stupid?" I go, stop. You've just asked yourself a loop question. The subconscious mind is going to go to work, and it's going to tell you why you're so stupid.
That's right, and make you even more stupid.
You're not stupid, okay? Don't give me that. Don't say that, okay? So we need to learn how to ask the questions and also ask the questions in the right way of our children.
I would love to do an experiment with you, Wayne. We're a team, a professional team, that let's say they're in dead last place, for the next season hires you to hypnotize all their players, regardless of the sport, hockey, baseball, football, mm-hmm. and regardless of the sport, and see what happens to them and see if you could turn them into winners.
That would be great. Let me put it this way. I will have them more efficient. I will have them operating as a cohesive unit, okay? If you give me a sales team, okay, and this is a good example. If you have two sales teams, give me a sales team. Let me work with the sales team for about 6 weeks. That sales team will break all your records.
Is there a placebo system that you could set up? Where, you know, they take half of the sales team and let them do their own thing.
Oh, absolutely.
And then the other half is trained by you.
Right. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, I mean, you bring up a good point, placebo. Placebo is whatever the mind can believe, it's going to follow it.
It is. Exactly.
And that's why the drug companies a couple of years ago had petitioned the Drug Administration to forego placebo testing. And they wouldn't do it because
it was too successful.
Oh, well, absolutely, because the placebos work better than the actual drug. Okay? I mean, Train your subconscious mind. Take control of your subconscious mind. Because if you don't, somebody else will.
Let's go to final calls for you this segment. Charles in Elgin, Texas. Hey, Charles, go ahead.
Hey. Anyway, thank you for giving me a few moments here with Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Walker. Let's see. Do you want to learn something? Learn something, and something very special. Maybe by helping me with an issue I've had with it relates to hypnosis, particularly kind of neuro-linguistic programming mess ups. And I'm wondering if you might be able to help. I don't know if I can afford very much, but it might be just something that just requires a little bit of conversation. Maybe, you know, it'd be great if I could, we could get a Henry Clay or something like that, or some kind of cigars, and just sit around and talk about it for a while. But
why don't you do this? Go to my website and send me an email.
rmhypnosis.net, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And then, of course, you can get back to folks, all our listeners. You're going to get flooded with emails anyway, Wayne. But whatever you can do to help our folks, that's appreciated.
Well, that's you know what? That's one of the things that I enjoy most about what I do is helping people. And if, you know, at least I can direct people to where they need to go if that's the case. But hypnosis is really, really an amazing tool that we really need to learn how to take hold of and use it.
I've got a better understanding just talking to you for a couple hours about it and how it works, you know, and the things that I assumed could be done and that things that can't be. Frank in Hollywood, Maryland. Hey, Frank.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you. I have a handwriting. Is it okay to ask a handwriting question?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
All right. I'm left-handed. I write left-handed and do half the things left-handed, but I can write right-handed too.
Mm-hmm.
If I write my wife's signature next to mine, and five other people write their signatures, could you tell if I was writing right-handed? Could you tell that it was me according to my other signature? I know there's loops and different things that tell you that. But I can write completely different right-handed.
So well, here's what happened. Handwriting is brain writing. There's a neurological connection between writing and your brain. And when I work with a person, I'll typically have them write out a full page of handwriting in cursive on a blank piece of paper using pen. And I don't care what it's about, as long as they don't copy it, they can tell me about a vacation or whatever, and I'll have them bring it in, because that handwriting will tell me more than probably they want me to know about them. There's so much data and scientific information on handwriting. Now, your question is as far as can I tell if it's right or left-handed? No. I mean, if you always have a dominant hand, and anytime that you switch hands, there's not going to be that connection with the non-dominant hand that you have with the dominant hand. So there's going to be differences. However, if you were to lose the ability to write with your dominant hand within 6 months, your handwriting is going to look the same as if it was with the dominant hand.
That's amazing.
Using up because of the brain writing.
Yeah.
It's just rerouting to the other hand.
Yet your personality can be determined by your signature?
Well, signature is your public self, okay?
Right.
A signature is what you want people, how you want people to see you.
For documents and everything else.
Documents, how big it is, does it slant up, does it slant down? I've seen a lot of times I can tell when a woman is divorced because she'll still be using her married name and she'll write it out and then X through it several times. And I go, would you have to be divorced? She goes, yeah. I said, do you not like your ex-husband? She goes, I hate him.
Why'd she even put the name there?
Well, who knows?
That's how you find out.
Could be the kids, wants to keep the same last name as the kids. you know, to keep some sort of continuity or that. But people, the handwriting is a really interesting interesting thing.
It really is.
And then you go into rods where you find water.
Dowsing rods.
Dowsing. Okay, dowsing. I use a form of that to work with people, and that to find lost objects, and that. And I've actually used dowsing rods to find my wife's cell phone out in the pasture that she couldn't find. So it's another tool. And you know, George, the interesting thing is the more I learn, the more things come full circle, the more they're connected. Okay, you had talked in the past about Ouija boards.
Yes, hate them.
Well, Ouija boards can trigger hypnotic states, and when you create those hypnotic states, you allow bad things in with those
mm-hmm.
things. Okay, those are not something anybody needs to play with. Okay, period.
Because I agree.
You know, it's just not good.
I agree. Bill is truck driving in Orland, California. Hey, Bill, go ahead, sir.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, I wanted to ask about this guy, Georgi Rogozin. He was a general in the KGB and then FSB in Soviet Russia. Now, he's passed away from old age, but they called him the Merlin of the Kremlin. And he specialized in psychological operations and mind control, and he used hypnosis quite a bit. He pioneered a lot of techniques in hypnotic suggestion and whatnot. And what I'm wondering, do you think it's possible using hypnosis and other techniques to actually co-opt someone's mind and retool it for a different purpose?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Well, yeah.
Almost like the Manchurian candidate to a point.
Right, and the answer to that is yes or no. Now, Russia, they do things a little bit differently than we do here in the States. They have a different way of approaching things. The United States is unique in a way that of how our country was founded and how we view ourselves as Americans of being independent and so on and so forth. A lot of countries don't have that mindset, and therefore the citizens of that country have a different thought process, and they could be more susceptible to those techniques of using your words, co-opting somebody's subconscious mind. But yeah, I mean it's possible, and it depends on the individual.
Sure does. We are running out of time. We've only got about a minute and a half left. Wayne, tell folks what they can expect when they go to your website.
You'll find a lot of information about a lot of different things, the stop smoking, the weight loss, business. It'll educate you on hypnosis, and I would encourage people to learn about it. You know, don't discard this as something just as you know, magical. I always tell people when I work with them, I'm a conductor. You're a player of an instrument. I can't play your instrument, but I can help you play your instrument better through the process.
That's right. Are you glad you took the path?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good for you, Wayne.
It's a lot of fun.
Hey, keep in touch with us, and producer Tom will get in touch with you again, too, because we may have a live event down your neck of the woods, and we'd love to have you as a guest.
I'd enjoy that much. And you know, one of my professional excitement is talking to you today.
Okay, my friend. Wayne Walker, website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. He'll accept your emails. If you have a question about hypnosis, just fire it off. On our next Coast to Coast program, that'll be Friday, Tanya Carol Richardson joins us as we talk about angel intuition. Hey, why not? It's almost Christmas. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Mars Schrey, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Greg Bishop, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, Tim Banal, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.